I wanted to talk about fellowship with Holy Spirit a little today, and I wanted to talk about what love looks like, but I don't know how far we're actually going to get. I'm thinking fellowship is probably where we're going to be, because we didn't even go there yet. Yesterday, we talked about fellowship with the Father, the Son. Today, we looked at two scriptures, fellowship with Holy Spirit. That is actually fellowship with Holy Spirit. Let's go to John, would you, with me, please? Fellowshipping with Holy Spirit is actually your number one contact or access with God. He'll represent the Father to you. He'll represent Jesus to you, the heart of God. The Bible says He doesn't speak on His own, but that which He hears. So, see, they're three in one. You have don't let the Godhead confuse you, okay? They're three in one. They're God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but they're one. Why are they one? Because you can't separate them from will, intent, integrity. They're the same, exactly the same, but yet they're three, but yet they're one. Does that make sense? They're completely in agreement, completely unified, completely in oneness. And they don't do anything apart from one another in the sense of will, intent, purpose, character, disposition. Isn't that beautiful? They have different functions, the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, the fellowship, and even the power of Holy Spirit. I heard a preacher explain it as a light switch once, and how the current flows through the light switch, and someone turning on the light, that there's a command to turn on the light, and through Christ the switch is flipped, and the Holy Spirit's the power going through to bring on the light. And it's like that. It's the will of the Father revealed through Jesus Christ by the working of Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's just take healing, for example. The will of God wants to heal. The Word establishes that. It really does. I don't need to open that up as a topic. The Word of God establishes it's the will of God to heal. So we have a yes and amen through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit, healing flows. Does that make sense? So we have the yes from the Father. We have the go-ahead through Jesus for the yes. Okay? And Holy Spirit, bring the healing. Make sense? That's how it works. It's just simple. So I want you to see John 14. Yeah, thank you. Man, that's good. He says in John 14, 15. Man, it's so intimate. Where did he even start? It's so good. Help me, help me, help me. Okay, I am just going to jump in at 15 because I want to establish this here. And this is probably not talked about enough. I have a conviction as I'm standing here right now that I don't personally talk about this enough. And it's fellowship and communion with Holy Spirit. And I don't think we talk about that too much. Even like Pastor Don talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Very important. Don't talk about that enough. If you love me, keep my commandments. The best translation is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Does anybody's Bible say that? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. Now you can read that under the law. You know what that means? Or you can read that for what it's saying. If you read that under the law, it's like, well, if you love me, you're going to do what I say to do. So prove you love me.
Now I'm the proof.
No, what he's saying is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The evidence of love, your love for me will keep my commandments. And that'll get clearer here in a minute, okay, when we talk about what love looks like. All right?
I know when I used to read that, being very legalistic about myself, I'd say, well, that means if I eat a second piece of pie when God told me to eat one, then I'm not doing that verse. I mean, you can look at it really legalistically.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you can look at a lot of things legalistic, and if you keep my commandments, you know, they love me. A lot of people just go introspective and weigh their life for where it's missing and what's wrong with no thought of change, just bad me. Do you know what I mean? It's not wrong if you look at your life for areas of change, but you have to see change. You have to see the way of change. A lot of people look introspectively and just come out negative and just write themselves off and say, boy, God has a lot of work to do in me. That is not a good day to see yourself that way. Okay? There's no hope for change. But let's get back on this fellowship. Watch this. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another. Another is the word allos in the Greek. The word allos means the same kind as. The same kind. The same kind as. Another means the same kind as. Here's what Jesus is doing. Now watch what Jesus is doing. This is amazing. He's on the earth. I hear a lot of people say, I'd love to have been here on the days of Jesus. And I can relate. That would have been amazing. But he's saying this is a greater day that, you know, if Jesus was here in the flesh, we'd all have to be where he is. Right? He said it wouldn't even be profitable if I didn't go to the Father, because then he wouldn't send the Helper. So Jesus gets 12 men. He disciples them, pours his life into them. And then he's telling them, I'm going to be leaving. And he's like, but man, don't get bummed out, because I'm going to pray to the Father and he's sending another. And he's going to come. And here's literally what he's saying. And he'll be in my absence what I would be if I was here myself. He's Holy Spirit. We're one. He's another helper. But here's the other thing. He'll live in as many and be multiplied into as many as would believe. So he's not limited then to one man in the flesh. He's coming to live in the flesh of every man that believes. So it's no longer him and one man in the flesh, and we come. It's him living in as many as we believe. So this is the reproduction of Jesus. A seed dying, falling to the ground. It'll spring up and bear much fruit. How's the fruit? Where does it come from? The outpouring of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit coming into you to live in you and be one and bear witness of Christ and show you things to come and speak on behalf of the Father. So how's Christ reproducing himself? Christ, the anointed one, by pouring out his Spirit, praying to the Father. Holy Spirit comes. This is how a seed produces after its own kind. So Jesus is a seed that falls to the ground and dies. He must produce after his own kind. So a man walking in communion and fellowship with God without a sin barrier is the life of Jesus modeled and revealed. It's the same. Follow me. How can he talk like that? Because he's giving us the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, the same Spirit that came upon him in the River Jordan. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. The man, Jesus of Nazareth. Right? So he's going to pray, and there's another going to come. And he, that he may abide with you forever. I like that forever stuff. Serious. The Spirit of, who is he? Oh, he's the Spirit of truth. Wow. Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. Well, the world can't receive him because what the world calls truth isn't what the Spirit of truth says. The way that seems right to man is the Spirit of truth for the world. The wisdom of the world is rationale. It's common knowledge, common sense in most cases. The way it seems. The Spirit of truth. He came to his own knew him not. Why? Because the truth was saying something totally different than they were living by. I say, but you say. I say, but you say. Some translations say, I say, but you have heard it said. He's changing the language. What he's saying is, you guys are speaking a whole nother language than truth. Do you get that? That's why we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's why we're not conformed to the world, but transformed. This is a bigger deal than we realize, I think. And it's not something to get weird with, like, you know, where you're watching your tongue in every word. Your relationship with him, your love with him, and your exchange with him in intimacy, meditating on the word, will change your language, your thoughts, your vision. You're not walking through the earth trying not, you're not on eggshells. You're not trying not, you know what I'm saying? That's how a lot of Christians are trying to live their life. They think that's what working out their salvation is. You work your salvation out with reverence unto God. You awe him. You reverence him. He's amazing. He dominates your life because he is so awesome. You revere him. You wake up and you revere him. And then who he is overtakes who you are. And the Spirit of God begins to live through your life. And you're being led by the Spirit, by the wisdom of God, by the mind of the Lord. Does this make sense? Okay, it's communion with him. Did you have a question or a comment?
I was just going to say, it's so important that we have common sense. It's important that it's common. What is common to?
Yeah. God's not against the mind. What we call common in the world is usually the way that seems right to man. Like people say, yeah, but. That's where all the yeah, buts come from in the church. It's another voice. It's another wisdom. We hit that real hard when we looked in Corinthians. Remember that one day we looked in Corinthians and talked about making, he has made foolish. It says, where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Where is? And it said, God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. He's made it foolish. It should be foolish to us. Be like, what? Do you know what I mean? Not, oh yeah, but. See, there's a place for the Word to dominate our lives where we're looking through the Word. So the Spirit of truth, the world can't receive, neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. So watch this. We're to know Him. It's not a position. It's not a positional thing. Well, the Spirit of God lives in me. No, we know Him. Did you see that? We know Him. The love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, and the communion, koinonia, the fellowship, the intimacy of Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. That means He must speak, right? Come on, it's so good. Look, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I will come to you. How's He coming? In the person of Holy Spirit. He's coming. I will come to you. Oh my goodness. Because a little while longer, I'm not going to be anymore. But because I live, oh, but you will see me. Isn't that amazing? Sounds like riddles. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live. Oh, that's so spiritual and powerful. See the beauty of living by faith and being in communion with God and being born again and being filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Okay? And that day, at that day, you will know that I'm in the Father and you in me and I in you. Sounds like we're all together again. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved. I love that part. That got me 12 years ago, 13 years ago on my bed. Probably more than that. It was probably pretty early on. I was laying on my bed reading that. And I realized, man, when I'm walking in the will of God, in the wisdom of God, just because I'm in love and I'm just walking the Word, I'm being loved by my Father. It's one thing to say, Daniel, Jesus loves you or the Father loves you. It's another thing for Him to be loved by God.
Oh, that's two totally different things. One's a theological position. God loves you. It's a big difference for me to say God loves me and me to be loved by God. Yeah. Yeah. That's what's wrong with me most of the time I'm preaching. I'm loved by God. I can feel it. It's like, oh. This happened to me earlier today when we were talking about communion and union. Watch this. He will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, Jesus said, and I will love him. It's a verb. I will love him. And watch. And reveal or manifest or make myself known or seen to him. You hear the intimacy in that? Revelation? It's not Bible knowledge. I want you to look down here at verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, Who needs help? Does anybody need help? We need help. We have a helper. We have a helper. Yep. The Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. So who's Holy Spirit representing? Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He will, look what he'll do. Look what he'll do. He'll teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. People say to me all the time, just preaching and pouring out my heart, something never even opened in my Bible sometimes. I was just at a men's conference. It was funny at the men's conference because the one pastor said, man, I caught you on a live webcast from the Power and Love conference, the one that you did. He said, man, I was like, what? You just went on and on. It was so powerful. And you preached so much scripture. And it just all went together. I was blown away. He said, you never opened your Bible and you had no notes. And I'm thinking, you know, there's a grace on that. God told me to teach that way a long time ago. But here's something else that it has to do with. My communion with Holy Spirit. I used to tell people all the time, I don't have a store bank of knowledge. I don't carry a big head around of the Bible. Like, I don't know what it means to download this file and this chapter and this. Here's stuff I do. Holy Spirit, you're so amazing in my life. You're my helper. And you've come from the Father and you represent Jesus in my life. And I thank you that you'll teach me everything. As I read today, it's coming alive in me because the Word's alive. I don't just want knowledge of you. I want to know the Father, know the Son. I want to know you. And I thank you that you're bringing everything to my remembrance in every time of need. I am not under pressure to learn what the Bible says. I just want to know you. I've done this for years. I just want to know you. And I just thank you that as you pour it into me with revelation and understanding, you have the ability to bring it up in me in every time of need, whatever situation, whomsoever, whatever circumstance. I am not lacking for words. I am not lacking for knowledge because you're in me and you're immeasurable and unsearchable and you're in me because you want to be. Pray like that. Talk like that. So then you get thrown into a situation you've never really counseled much in, or you just get hit. That's what it means to be ready in season. All of a sudden, Holy Spirit does the download thing. You don't even click the buttons. I don't even know about computers. I just know some of these terms you guys talk about. I used to think a web page is finding a spider in an old book. I didn't know what a web page was. I was like, a web page. When I first heard that term, I thought, that's weird. So, I mean, what does that mean anyway? But so all of a sudden you're in this, and all of a sudden you're sharing with a person and scriptures come out of you that you haven't even thought about or read for a while.
Yeah.
You're not preaching a sermon to them. Out of the heart of God, did you hear that? Out of the heart of God in you, because of love and what He's building, you're ministering to them. It's out of the heart of God. They don't need your head. They don't need you to quote the last sermon you heard. And I'm not saying that in a mean way. Did you hear that okay?
Yes.
Really, they don't need our Bible knowledge. I get alone with somebody and all of a sudden, it's like, you just see it. Why? Because you care for them. You love them. You've been with Him. You've been in Him. And He'll bring to remembrance all things that Jesus said. So I fill my heart with the Word. Do you get what I'm saying? Trusting that it's in there. And the Holy Spirit can access it whenever, however, to whomever He wants. Because He loves people. And I love people too because we're one. Does this make sense? It makes things so simple. That way I'm not trying just to memorize. Okay, what do I tell them? Okay, how's that scripture? The more I do it this way, and it becomes my reality, the clearer I'll see it for you. I think one of the reasons we struggle ministering to one another sometimes so much is because we haven't been the best at ministering to ourselves and just accepting truth and just being loved and just being His. The more I know that about me, the more I know that about Dean. So when I see Dean, I just know exactly who he is to the Father. Why? Because I see who I am, and if I'm that to the Father, He sure is. Does it make sense? And I look at George, and there's not even a thought in my mind. He's a son. He is a son. He's predestined. And what a heart you have, by the way. I respect your heart. You know, when Don said that, Pastor, on Sunday about if we'd had when we were teens and stuff, I almost started crying because I could hear your heart. And I want to encourage you in this. You don't see anything as lost and don't see anything as regret. You make the most of what God's doing in your heart and you'll see these next years can so outweigh where all those years you think could be because God is way beyond our minds. And I just almost started crying and it wasn't a bad cry. It was a good cry for you because I thought, George, your heart is so alive for truth. You're not a religious man. You're not a, well, yeah, old school kind of can't be taught. Your heart's like a child. Your heart's like a child. It's like I saw your heart when Pastor spoke that. And you almost broke when he said that. But I don't want you to see that as a regret thing. As like, boy, what could have been? Because I'm excited for what is and what is coming. And I'm just telling you that. And it sounds kind of like prophetic in that sense. But I'm very excited for you. Because I got a glimpse of your heart on Sunday morning. And that's what was bringing me to tears. Because you're a little kid in a man's body. You're teachable. And God's fathering you in this hour of your life. And your ears are like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. They really are. Stretch your hands to George. We're going to bless him. Stretch your hands to George.
Father, we bless our brother and we thank you for what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord, that there is nothing about what could have been that outweighs what is and what is coming. And we just speak that over him and bless him. And we thank you for God reality. We thank you for peace of heart and mind. And we thank you for an absolute manifestation of just the duplication, multiplication of Christ and the Christ in him. And we just thank you for fruit abounding, that all eternity will speak on behalf of what you've accomplished through George because of the childlike heart you've worked in him. We bless this man and we thank you for the time that is and the time to come in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay. Watch this. The helper. Wow. The helper. Some of your Bibles say comforter probably. Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. Who sent him? He must want you to have him. Come on, you got to be that childlike. Serious, come on. Why would you ever fight with that? Well, I don't know if Holy Spirit want to hang around me, man. Father sent him. He's here. And Father wants him here. Remember, of him you are in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1. It's of the Father you're in Christ. Whose idea is it that you're in Christ? Of who? Of him. Is it your bright idea? Is it because one day you just felt like, well, you know, it's of him you're in Christ. He opened the door. He made it possible. He turned on the light. Man, he must want you in the light. Come on, you got to think that intimate. Sometimes I'm so slow. I'm not in a hurry to just read. You'd be amazed how slow I am with some stuff. I'll sit on my bed and one little thought like that of him or the Father will send him. And I'll just sit there and I'll muse on that and meditate. And I'll just think about God's good pleasure to give me the kingdom and how it pleases God to love me and bless me and provide and give me everything necessary to fulfill what he created me for. And I'll just camp on that one thing and it comes alive. That sure beats just reading through and being able to quote John 14. I'm not against quoting John 14, but we say it all the time. You don't know the word till you become the word. The word becomes flesh. If we're following Jesus, that's what happened. The word became flesh. Jesus was the ta-da of God in the flesh, the word flesh. Ta-da, the word. We ought to be ta-da, the living expressive word because of the word in us. Serious? Are we one? Did he say we're one? Yes. So don't see your life apart from him. Don't say, well, that was Jesus. Yeah, and where does he live? Okay. Who the Father will send. Now watch what he'll do. He'll teach you all things. Please don't just read your Bible like a history book. Please read it in relationship. The Word is alive. It's active. God and his Word are one. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was. I was reading my Bible years ago and Holy Spirit whispered to me that scripture. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was. And he said it. And he whispered real sweet into my spirit. I just stood there. I was like, oh. He said, and no one looks into my face and lives. Mm-hmm. And I realized this is where I die. And this is where I live. I find who I'm really not, and I find who I really am. Oh, I was so pumped because I was ready to read and I was ready to honor God for the word and da-da-da. And I don't mean da-da-da. And what I'm saying is just all that intimacy fellowship stuff. I'm not making light of it. It wasn't a method. But what I was just cutting to the quick here. And he spoke that scripture. In the beginning was the word. And I'm thinking, yeah. And then he said, and no man looks into my face and lives. It's just huge. I'm not sure, this is just a comment, I'm not sure I'd have those kind of experiences if I wasn't opening this up with the purpose of intimacy and not just knowledge. I'm not sure I'd hear those things if I wasn't pursuing him in the name of relationship. Is that fair?
Yes.
I heard a song one time that said, maybe God will just invade our daily devotion today and they'll come alive. Why? Because sometimes the daily devotion takes the place of knowing Him. And it just marks us as doing our Christian calisthenic today. And hey, I read my word and prayed. But have you met Him face to face? Have you said, "Good morning, Father"? Have you communed with the Lord? Well, I listened to Christian music all morning and wore my Christian t-shirt and talked to two Christian friends. And I even have my Christian screensaver on and my little ringtone is Christian. But have you met with Him face to face? Come on, this is real. These are the that sounds like such a little switch, but it means everything's hinging on that one thought right there. He will teach you all things, bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. Look at John 15:26. When the Helper comes, I do things in my Bible. Like this one's newer, so I'm not all the way through, but I color code my Bibles. So I got them like all colored up with meaning. That's meaning. It's not just to make them pretty, and it's not just highlighting everything, because to me, just highlight the whole book. But like everything that has to do with Holy Spirit, I color it blue. And then when I go through these chapters, if I want to just fellowship with Him and just see who He is in my life, I could just page through and read all the blue. Just read blue. I have green. Everything that has to do with love is green in my Bible. So if I just want to read about love, I can just page through and just read everything green. Everything that's orange is a promise. Everything that's purple is a condition to that promise or a commandment. So it's just something I do because I feel like Holy Spirit, I'll get my pens out and I'll say, "Holy Spirit, you know what all these mean to me right now. And I'm just asking you to bring these things out and teach me and show me and just, man, let this book that's alive live in me." And it's amazing how when you read like that, it's just, boom. But like you just page through and it's neat because you can just go right to where everything is pertaining Holy Spirit. And I can just read it. John, oh, I have everything concerning the blood. I have it red.
Duh.
You see what I mean? So if I just want to just kind of like just hook up to the blood and the power of the blood and just get real bloody one day, and just, see what I mean? This is good. When the Helper comes, verse 26, when the Helper comes, is He here? Look, He's affirming this again. You have to listen to this language. He's letting you know He wants you to have Him. He wants Him here and He wants to come. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. Man, do you hear the union in this? Do you hear the family in this? Do you hear the purpose in this? The calling, the destiny. Do you see identity in this? You're created to be one with Him and to have Him with you. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. So He's the real deal. He's the one you want. He proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. Sometimes I'm not sure a lack of fellowship and communion with Holy Spirit in our life allows us to live apart from Christ in ways of mindset, identity, wisdom. See, when you're in communion with the Holy Spirit, He testifies of Christ. Everything He does points to Jesus. So it's impossible to live headless. Right? Because He's the head. He's constantly, Holy Spirit's constantly. Constantly! Testify of Him. Right? Why is that so funny? He's constantly pointing to Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. So our lives then are lived in Christ and through Christ, not for Christ. Our identity is one with Him, and Holy Spirit continually bears witness to that. So doesn't He want to come and wrap around you and cuddle you every time you realize you're clean and free and forgiven and redeemed? Doesn't He want to come and just be with you in that place and affirm that?
Right?
I'll tell you, if we as Christians would spend plenty of time just being in that place right there, clean, forgiven and free and washed. Don't be afraid to be in that place as if you're self-justifying and self-righteous, because in that place, if you take one step to the side, you will be so aware of it quickly because you've cultivated a consciousness of clean. And that alone will keep you on the straight and narrow. Does that make sense? That's so good. That's so like, yay, that would be grace. So I'm not trying not to fail. I'm just enjoying being His. And that keeps you from failing. Does this make sense? Because if I'm trying not to fail, I'm under pressure and I'm subject to possibly fail. So failure is on the agenda. It's in the horizon. It's conscious awareness. Why are we thinking that now that Christ has come and raised? Are we thinking ourselves more highly than we ought? No. No, that would be you in and of yourself, just a self-made, self-professed, self-proclaimed, yay, I can do this because I'm super Christian. You're not running the risk of thinking yourself more highly. Sometimes we use those scriptures and they subvert actually faith and identity. Take heed while you stand, lest you fall. He's talking about getting into self-confidence and pride and presumption and other things. Sometimes we use those scriptures against a healthy identity. You better be careful with that. Okay? It's like we can't have a good attitude and feel good about ourselves because maybe we're in pride and now we're really deceived. You hear it taught that way. That's why I told you, I'm either way whacked or free. I'm banking on free, but it's one or the other. You want to live in a place where you can't find middle ground. You're either way out there or you're in Him. And I think if it gets that extreme, you already know your answer in your heart, right? Yeah. You don't want to paint middle ground. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify me. Look at John 16. It'd be good to meditate on these Holy Spirit scriptures that Jesus shared because He's revealing who He is in our lives. Okay? Verse 7, 16. It is to your advantage that I go away. Because they didn't want Him to go. They're like, Jesus, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. What do you mean you're going to die? Oh, don't leave us. Right? We would have all felt the same way. Big time. But there's a coveting Him for themselves. You realize that. It was a self-centered thing. It was like, you know, Peter cut off the ear. It looks integral, but he said, no, this won't happen to you, Lord. He said, you have in mind the things of man, not God. So Peter's heart cry wasn't because he loved Jesus. He loved Jesus for him. Did you get it? You know what he was really saying? You're the best thing that ever happened to me. You can't go now. There ain't nobody treating you like that. My ship's finally come in. You aren't sailing in any sunset except for mine. Get back here. You ain't going. Ain't nothing like this going to happen to you. It sounds like, I don't want this to happen to you. You don't deserve this. No, it's like, are you kidding me? Now that I've got a hold of you, I ain't letting you go. You ain't going nowhere. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. Serious? You have in mind the things of... So he was thinking for him, I love you for me. You really do good for me. And we say, I love you. And we're really saying, I desperately need you. We call it love. It's need. Okay. I'm not going to go there. Just let that work out in the wash. Thank you, Jesus. Backing way off right now. I was ready to head somewhere. I'm going, nope, nope, nope. Warning. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come. If He doesn't go and conquer death, raised from the dead for our justification, sit at the right hand and mediate on our behalf through His blood on God's mercy seat, then Holy Spirit can't come because we're still in our sin. You get it? But He did go. And we're not in our sin, and Holy Spirit came. Oh, happy day. Serious?
When Jesus washed, he washed our sins away. Where'd they go?
Away.
Oh, happy day. Oh, come on. I am flaking out, man. Is it okay to say you're clean?
Yes.
Where'd he wash our sin?
Away.
Whoa.
Far away.
All away. Probably ought to accept that. Probably ought to accept that and just be free and be clean and be his. Holy Spirit wants to live in us. Amen? Y'all, such an intimate gospel. The help, see, if you miss the relationship of this, the intimacy of this, you'll just try to fulfill doctrine. You'll just live the Christian part that you're to play and not be blessed along the way. You won't be fulfilled. You get this? This is all about relationship. I and you, you and me, the Father and me, we're all one. My brethren, go tell my brethren, I'm going to your God, my Father, your Father. You get it? But if I depart, I will send him to you. See the purpose of our lives? He doesn't want us to live without him. He created us for his good pleasure, to manifest him and reveal him on the earth so the glory of the Lord would cover the earth. Don't think that's blasphemous. You're the glory of God revealed on the earth when you're walking in covenant through Christ. Romans 8 teaches that. You're predestined. Who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. How did he glorify you? By filling you with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Is that glory to you? No. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You get this? It's not a vain thought. It's almost blasphemous, heresy type thought in the church at large when you talk like that. Just read Psalms 8. What is man that thou art mindful? He crowned us with glory. That he would visit you. That he would make you a little lower than Elohim. Just read Psalms 8. Psalms 139. I think, is that the psalm about inward parts? And Yeah. I will send him, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. There's a work of Holy Spirit there. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time to teach that out right now, but it says of sin because they did not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Who's bearing witness of the righteous judgment of God to your heart? So if you get to know him, that'll become a given, because that's part of his message.
Yeah.
If you accept him as your friend, accept him into your life and start communing with him and talking to him. I'm going to break this down in a minute. I'm going to share some personal stuff with you, okay? And then we'll close. Verse 13. Well, let's just read. Because I go to the Father, you'll see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Man, there's a sanctifying in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit of your life where you'll see things for what they really are. It puts the enemy in right perspective, puts people in right perspective, puts your life in right perspective. Your fellowship with Holy Spirit makes your life crystal clear. Because he's bearing witness of truth constantly and pointing and testifying of Jesus, who is the truth. Jesus is the truth. You get it? As you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I just appreciate you. I thank you. You are my best friend. I can't tell you how many times I have told him you are my best friend. I used to pray this a lot, and it wasn't condemnation. I would say, keep working in me and make me a friend to you like you're a friend to me. Ask him that all the time. Continue to condition my heart and my mind and bring me into such a place of agreement with you that I am a friend to you like you're a friend to me. Doesn't he say to love God like God loves you? Agape God like God agapes you? In other words, always believe the best about God? So why not make me a friend to him like he is to me? Because he's the best friend. Do you know he could be the best friend and you don't receive his best friendship?
by talking yourself out of what he's saying or not receiving the truth for your life. And he's there to nurture you and you're not being nurtured. He's there to tell you you're awesome and cuddle you, and you're telling yourself what's wrong with you and not letting nobody cuddle you. Hello? Why would we take that initiative when we're created in his image and he sent him and he saw fit to come? You must be special. The truth about you must be incredible. The truth about you in him is probably way yet to be seen in all of our lives. You follow me? Come on, just think with me. Jesus becoming a man and flesh and dying an unjust death on the cross, getting beat beyond description, facing death, conquering it, raising from the dead, sitting forever, committing to sit forever and serve us through his mediation. And speak on behalf of man to God, and then God sending that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, his Spirit, Holy Spirit, to mankind. There must be an amazing relationship, an amazing value to our lives. Come on, this thing's not a fairy tale, it's real. You get it? I sit sometimes, don't even open this. Go to open it and think thoughts like that. And just go, oh. And I'll just sit there and think like that. And Holy Spirit will keep connecting dots and the whole picture of the cross and what he accomplished and my value and eternal truth just comes alive. Because you're just meditating and thinking, musing, and you're not in a hurry and you're not just trying to read your Bible because you're a Christian. Your whole goal is to know him. Your whole goal is to know him. I promise you, if we know him, in the end we'll find it. Things fall in place. We've walked in a manner worthy of him if we know him. Does that make sense? My whole goal is to know him. Your goal is to know him. However, oh, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. He's talking to his disciples. They were flowing with grief. They had a lot of... He was comforting them, actually. And telling them, you know, all they could see is death. You have to understand, they were under the fear of the bondage of death. And when he said he's dying, that's finality to them. And he's the best thing that ever happened to them. And they're in a coveting way, wanting to hold on to him, right? So they're overcome. Think about it. I'm going to be turned over. I'm going to be persecuted, I'm going to be whipped, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die at the hands of sinful men. And they're like, and he says, but on the third day, I will rise. They couldn't even hear that because of the fear of death. All they could hear is, and it says, and they were all filled with grief. Not one person went, wait a minute. Whoa, wait. You're going to be crucified, but you're going to rise? You're going to raise from the dead? Not one person thought that. All they could hear is, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You know our lives can work that way? A doctor says da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and all we hear is da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and yet God is speaking and has already spoken. And because of what we fear, depending on what we fear and reverence, depends on how we hear and see. Does this make sense? Things sound so simple, but they're so huge with the way things pan out. Regis?
They had already seen the resurrection, the widow's son and Lazarus.
Yeah. And the Lazarus one, they didn't compute or comprehend at all, of course. And the widow's son was more of a whoa. But do you understand the fear of the bondage of death, how encapsulating it is when it's there in a person's life? Here's Jesus saying many times in the New Testament, like five, at least four, I think five times he lets them know, if you add up all the Gospels, I'm going to rise. On the third day I will rise. When you watch the Matthew video, it's so distinct. He says, I'm going to this, 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 and they're all sitting there, and he says, but on the third day I will rise. And he says, and they were all filled with grief. You know, that happens to us today if we're not careful. Knowing him, understanding, walking in love will cause our ears to hear what we need to hear. However, when the Spirit of truth, what is he? Spirit of truth. You can sure trust him. Spirit of truth. When he has come, he will guide you. You do have a spirit guide. He will guide you into all. What? So what is he here to do? He's here to bear witness of Jesus, to testify of Jesus, to show you things to come, to bring all things Jesus said to your remembrance, and to guide you in all truth. These are all things he's here to do. As you get to know him and fellowship with him and commune with him and accept those things in your life and thank him and acknowledge those things in your prayer and communion time, even as you're reading this, that meditating in the word that we talked about, and you just read this, man, don't read this in your personal time without getting personal with him. Or you'll just be able to teach a good lesson on the person of Holy Spirit. You don't need to preach a sermon about him. It's time to know him, right? I'm not being smart when I say that. We don't study our Bible to preach sermons. We're reading our Bible to know him. Okay? I'm not reading so I can keep up in the Christian circles and have a conversation and sound intelligent. I want to know him. Watch. He will guide you into all truth. Watch. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So it sounds like he's in direct connection with the Father's heart. And when he speaks, he's saying what the Father's saying. Why? Because Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. And I only say what he's saying, and I only do what he's doing. Why was that possible? Because of the work of Holy Spirit. Bringing him into that place as a man. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And he's telling us it's the same with us. Christ in us. Wow. He will glorify. Look what he'll do. The things he does, here's how you know the work of the Holy Spirit. Because what he does glorifies Jesus. What Holy Spirit does glorifies Jesus. It magnifies Jesus. For he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. Man, if you don't hear intimacy in this, listen. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he will take of mine and declare to you. So does Jesus see all things that are his apart from us? Whoa. You got to catch that stuff. Look. He will glorify me and take of what is mine and declare it to you. Why? Because he sees us as one from the beginning. So all that Jesus has is from the Father. All that the Father has is mine. And that's why I say he'll take of what is mine and give it to you, because you and me are one from the beginning. How can we fight that and say we're not worthy or not loved or not forgiven or not redeemed or not qualified? Come on! At this point in this school, I'm going to say it, you would have to just flat out almost be willful. Serious. And just believe the lie. Because there's too much affirmation here. He's saying, it is mine. It is given to me from the Father. And I gave it to Holy Spirit to declare to you, because I will not see myself apart from you. And I will not see what is mine apart from being yours. Come on, it's right there. I don't have time then for anything else, see? Okay, a couple personal little thoughts. I'm just going to talk to you a little, and then we're going to close. In your fellowship, and most of the time, it seems, according to those scriptures, it seems most of the time, your communication with the Lord. Like, who's the Lord? Jesus. We know that, and we all say Jesus, but Corinthians also says the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Why? Because they're one. You can't. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. He sends his Spirit. You get it? It's amazing. So the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But I thought Jesus was the Lord. Well, the Spirit and the Lord and Jesus are one. Do you get it? Yay. Okay. So watch this. Most of the time, it's the person of Holy Spirit that he's talking about, the other helper, the another helper, the allos helper, the comforter, the one that comes. Most of your communion and what you hear, and it's the work of Holy Spirit in our lives. So that's why he talks about communion and fellowship with Holy Spirit. Now, I can only explain these as experiences. Sometimes I believe Holy Spirit talks to me specifically on behalf of Jesus, whether it's Jesus himself or the Holy Spirit on behalf of Jesus saying what he hears, it doesn't matter. So it's not something to get technical, but here I've had all these experiences. I've had the Father speak to me where I knew it was the Father. I've had Jesus speak with me, manifest himself to me in different ways where I knew it was Jesus. And then many, 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 many times the person of Holy Spirit. Okay? So I commune with all three, talk to all three. There's times the Father has come. Anytime I've had an experience with the Father, it's this expression. All I know is to say His majesty, like regal, royal, it's majesty. There's something intense about when the Father manifested himself to me a couple different times in the form of the Father, and it's indescribable. Had experiences with Jesus. Was that Holy Spirit impersonating Jesus, representing Jesus? It's not, you know what I'm saying. That's not it. I laugh because that's not what he's doing. I'm just trying to get a, is that him on behalf of Jesus? I don't know. I just know that I've talked to all of them personally and heard from all of them personally, but the dominating communion with the Lord in my life is the person of Holy Spirit. I have had Holy Spirit talk to me in first person form, referring to Jesus and referring to the Father as the person of Holy Spirit in my life, just talking to me as if Jesus is somewhere else. One of the first times that ever happened was when my wife was burned, and I heard, "Dan, don't praise him yet." Meaning Jesus. Holy Spirit said, "Don't praise him yet." So he came in the person of Holy Spirit. Not that he's apart from them, because they're all one. He could have said, "Don't praise me yet." But he talked on behalf of Jesus. It was amazing to me. It fascinated me. And then when you see these scriptures, it makes sense. Glorify me, testify me, bear witness to me, point to me. He said, don't praise him yet. It pleases him, the Lord, when his children go for the finished work. And he was bearing witness of Jesus' heart and motive and desire in his finished cross. And my wife was burned, and I was just excited that the pain left. And Holy Spirit was bothering me. Isn't that amazing? And speaking on behalf of Jesus, he was referring to Jesus, seemingly apart from Jesus, and yet they're one. So that's just intimate to me. That's the person of Holy Spirit in my life. Why he did it that way, I'm not totally sure, other than it spoke to me. I was like, whoa, you talked as if you're apart from him, even though you're not, in just your personhood. You just talk to me as God the Holy Spirit. I was fascinated by it. I don't know. And you know how impacting it was, and the fruit that was there? When I got the message and realized what was going on, all the burns, we watched them disappear from my wife's hand. Wow. Watched them disappear. It pleases him. Don't praise him yet. He could have easily said, Dan, don't praise me yet. Look, I love when my children go for the finished work. He could have came as Godhead one, three and one. But I think he likes to teach us this communion thing and the love of the Father and grace of Jesus, fellowship with Holy Spirit. That's why when I baptize people, I baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Because in the book of Acts, you could baptize in the name of Jesus. And then the church gets legalistic and there's this big move. And if you don't baptize in the name of Jesus, you weren't baptized correctly. And if you do it any other way, da da da. And we just make a mess of something so beautiful and so simple if we're not careful. Because Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. So I like to personally, unless they request different, baptize them in the name of the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the person and power of Holy Spirit. Why? Because then they're aware of the Godhead in all three. You see what I mean? But isn't it peculiar that so when the Father came into my bedroom, was that the Holy Spirit manifesting the Father? I don't know. I'm just telling you, I don't know. But there's been distinct times. There was a time I was teaching my kids Oh, God, I don't know why I'm telling this. I don't know if I'll get through this one. Uh-oh. I'm trying to back out. I'll be humble. If I get messy, I'll get messy. There was a time I was teaching him about the alabaster bottle and worship and receiving forgiveness and Jesus being the lover of men. And I was just, they were young, 12 and 7, and showing them how the woman and the feet. And in my heart, I was thinking it was such a beautiful thing. And we began to worship the Lord and love Him. And, whoa, I'm in so much trouble. And stuff I don't talk about. Whoa. Yep. Help.
Yep.
He's telling me to tell it, and I don't want to tell it. And you know how in your heart you read those things and your heart would be like, it's such an honor. It'd be like, you know, you understand the principle of worship and the song, you know, I'll break my alabaster box. It messes me up all the time. And we're in the living room. Was this Jesus? Was it the person of the Holy Spirit bearing witness? I don't know, but I just know that it's all through the work of the Spirit. But I remember we were worshiping and singing, and I just taught him a little thing about this, and then we got to praising the Lord, and I ended up kneeling, and I went to down, and when I did, I put my hand on feet that I couldn't see. And they were right there. I felt the ankles and the toes, and there's nothing there. And I lost it. I lost it. And I had so many tears pouring down. And I shook my hair. And I wiped all those tears. My kids were bawling so hard. Because I looked at my daughter and said, it's Jesus. He is here. I love you. I love you. And I kept wiping his feet with my hair. It was ridiculous. Was that Holy Spirit? Was that Jesus? I don't know. It was them. It was Him. It was God. Oh, thanks. He got me through that. I was so afraid of that story. I was like, why am I going to tell that story? I can't tell that story. Why would I have an experience like that? It's the best I know. I love Him with all my heart. And I want fellowship with Him. And I want to love Him with my whole life. He just gave me a real honor of just manifesting my heart to Him in a way that was just, it is indescribable. And it was personal. And it was the way of me saying, you know, I lay down my life for you. All that is yours is mine. All that mine is yours. So, these experiences, don't get technical with them and theological. They're the person of God. Probably through the demonstration of Holy Spirit representing and on behalf of, according to Scripture. But it shouldn't be a theological debate. So, do you talk to the Father? Absolutely. Can you just drive and talk to Jesus? You hear legalistic stuff. Well, no, you're only ever supposed to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Well, that's certain requests, that's things. But don't tell me that I can't hang out with Jesus and talk to Him. Because you're wrong. I do it all the time. You're just wrong. How sad. Okay? And the Holy Spirit is our best friend. All right? So now I'm ending 5 minutes early because I'm a mess, okay? So I'm just ending. There's nowhere else to go right now but home. There's no place like home. No. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you, God. There is, in the person of Holy Spirit, there is like so much available. And let's just pray this humble prayer, okay? that with all sincerity, we know we don't want to limit him, but don't pray that in condemnation or in you know, whatever. It's just a sincere prayer. We don't want to limit him, right? And we want to just give him access to all that he wants to do and make us all that we are in him. And let's just yield ourselves to him, okay? Not suggesting that we hinder him so bad and all that stuff. Oh. Father, we just thank you right now for what's available, and we just thank you for intimacy and union and communion with you. You sent Holy Spirit. Jesus, you paid the price necessary, and you went to the Father so he would come. We saw that in your word so clear. And Holy Spirit, you are here. Thanks for coming to be our friend, our comforter, our helper. Thanks for fathering us, tutoring us, teaching us. We yield to you. We believe, every one of us believes, we're worth the blood of Jesus according to you and this gospel. And every one of us believes that it's your good pleasure to come inside of us and live and lead us and instruct us. Bring all things to our remembrance that Jesus said and show us things to come. We accept you, we embrace you, and we love you. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We want to know you so much more. We just want to know you like so much more. And we're asking you to help us be a friend to you and to God's plan and purpose just like you're a friend to us. Cause us to be one like beyond what we've ever thought was possible. Don't let our minds limit us. Don't let anything keep us from knowing you. We love you, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we love you and honor you. You are so my hero. You are the living epistle of love. You are truth revealed. And Father, it sure is clear to see who you are through Holy Spirit and Jesus. Thank you for being a good, good Father. We honor you and we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, guys, I'm like 2 minutes early. That's amazing.